Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Ken Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome, everybody, to another edition of It's Not Your Grandpa's Geek Cave Podcast. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
Chad Savage.
It's the gaming segment, everybody. Yay, the most... The most expensive of the hobbies. Yay.
Depends on how you play it.
That's true. Want to thank our sponsors. Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today with free shipping on all orders within the U.S., plus great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything geek chic. Whether you're a fan of Sega, Nintendo, RoboCop, Dragon Ball, or something in between, I even saw a Riddler shirt on there. Find something for you at shirtosaurus.com. And Gamefly, your destination for new and used video games, and now movies. Now with new membership options for everyone, including elite plans so you always get the newest game, a budget plan to help you save some cash, and the option to rent both games and movies, Gamefly has thousands of titles that you can keep as long as you want without having to worry about the late fees. And when you're done, just pop it back in the postage paid envelope for a new one and pay a lot less than in-store prices if you decide to keep it forever. Sign up for a free 30-day trial right now using the link at the top of geekcavepodcast.com. And also a big thank you to everyone who's supported our Extra Life campaign so far. Extra Life 2021 is in full swing. We are aiming for a late September fundraiser for the marathon. Of course, we say aiming because, you know, time is fluid and ultimately meaningless, and we'll do it when we do it. But the good news is that means more chances for you to donate. We always have at least something going every week on Twitch with our Geek Cave plays, and we'll be doing that pretty much on a weekly basis until the marathon, trying to help raise money, and you get to watch me play games very badly. We've got some great prizes as well, including t-shirts. We've got gift cards to various marketplaces, including the Xbox Marketplace, PlayStation Network, eShop, your choice, or Amazon. We've got a Genki Shadowcast, which will allow you to basically turn any laptop into a capture device. As long as it's got a USB-C port, you can just plug your console directly in. Now, you're streaming with very minimal fuss. And the grand prize is an Xbox Series S console. Thank you, Microsoft, for providing that. And that will be, again, the grand prize. All of these prizes you can win with no minimum donation amount. Donate a buck. Donate $1,000. Please donate $1,000. Whatever you donate, all of it gets thrown into the hopper. It's like a big old raffle, if you will. The only exception is Justin makes some lovingly made hand-drawn sketches of your favorite comic book or cartoon character. That's $40 minimum because, hey, his time is worth something.
Not much, but $40.
Yeah.
I've got all of them here in the room with me that he's made for me. Do you want me to hold them up for the microphone so that people can see them?
Yes.
Give me a minute.
All right. Well, while he does that, again, DK.
Oh, that one. Yeah. Very nice.
DKpodcast.com. The Extra Life link is there at the top of the page. And you can also find the Extra Life link whenever we post video replays on our YouTube channel or on our Facebook account. So thank you for supporting us so far. Last year we raised more than $3,000. It was insane, especially during a pandemic. And this year we're already at $550 and we're several months out. So big thank you already to everybody who's donated. And big thank you in the future if you have donated between the time that we say these words and the time it reaches your sweet, adorable ears. All that out of the way. Chad.
Yo.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Demo Derby!
All right, today we demoed Rising Hell. Do you like Metroid-style vertical gaming platforming?
Yes.
Darren does.
Yeah.
Do you like short levels that let you pick up and play no matter how busy your schedule is?
Yeah.
Justin does. Do you like crazy over-the-top violence in a fantasy setting that makes you feel like a bad tushy?
Yes.
Back off. Back off, man. Kids are watching this shit.
Oh.
Anyway, Chad does. So, you should definitely play Rising Hell when it comes out, right? No.
Oh.
This game is bonkers, and I enjoyed all but the last minute of the demo.
Oh, no.
You play as Eric, a sinner that has the power to kill demons. What are you doing in this 16-bit ode to vertical action roguelikes? You're fixing to bust yourself out of the nine hells. And it is a hoot. The platforming is good. The humor's on point. The ability to chain together attacks is great. The story is as deep as any action platformer to date, which is to say, not two. So why not recommend it? Well, do you like games that give you one life and then send you back to the start of the game? Darren does not.
Mm-mm.
Do you like games that randomly change the world every time you play so there's no ability to develop muscle memory? Justin does not. Do you like having bosses to levels that are as chaotic as the worst levels of Ninja Gaiden mixed with the turbo tunnel of Battletoads?
Oh. Oh.
Chad doesn't. And so with those things in mind, this game gets a firm just the demo from me.
Wow.
Woof. That was intense.
Yeah.
As is the game.
Yeah.
Didn't know what I was getting into. Went ahead and, streamed it on the twitch.tv/geekkpodcast2. And my child was in the room. It was interesting.
I watched some of that. Yeah, Rising Heck.
Rising Heck.
Yeah.
Demo.
Awesome. Well, I'm sorry that it didn't work out for you, but it sounds awesome up until that point.
Well, and absolutely, get the demo. The demo is like 5 minutes of sheer hilarity.
Okay.
It's just when you get to the boss there. Now, Darren has been playing Metroid all month.
Yes.
So Darren is going to be able to just go through that, and he's going to be like, what the heck's his problem? this thing's a piece of piss.
This ain't no mother brain.
But for someone like me who's not played Nintendo or Super Nintendo games since they were out the first time, not my thing.
All right.
All right.
Okay. Justin.
Yeah.
Do you happen to have anything this month?
Let me check. Why, yes, thank you for asking. As many of you know, I don't get to play video games very much, but I do have a wide breadth of knowledge concerning video games. And so I've been going through Reddit's Ask Games to try and find questions that I think deserve a well-thought-out answer in a little segment I like to call
Ask Justin. The Geek Cave Podcast and its associates, including Justin, do not condone the advice given in this segment.
Thank you, Nigel. So this month's question is, what are some games that you can play that don't require your full attention at all times? So we've got Adjusting the Antenna, Badgering the Witness, Choking the Chicken, Discovering Your Own Potential, Flicking Your Bean, Getting to Know Yourself, Honking Your Horn, Jilling Off, Liquidating the Inventory, Manual Labor, One Man Band, Play a Little 5-on-1, Secret Handshake, Tickle the Taco, Unpacking the Moving Van, Varnishing the Flagpole, and Waxing the Buick.
Wasn't that the answer to a previous question?
Yeah. Yeah, this felt very familiar.
Oh.
No? I've never answered this question before.
No, I guess that's...
No, but no. You've given that answer before.
No, I haven't.
Oh,
I keep a running log of all of my answers, and I guarantee you, none of those games have
ever come up. I am going to look it up, and I'm going
up.
To tell you what it was next month.
I'm Hold sure on. I've listed games before. And
I'm
running
putting
inventory
it on the back
like
of
that.
My 1941 Ford pickup calendar day that I need to look up when you gave that answer before that you couldn't make it through the last time. I noticed you took off your headphones. There was no way you were going to make it through that list again.
We were
Didn't do it the first time.
I swear, I've never given this list before.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you probably changed a couple things around or added a couple of new ones, but you have definitely given that list of games.
I'm sure I have given a list of games. I know I have given several lists of games that you can play, but none of those have ever made a list before.
Do we have like word search capabilities on the website? I can just find, you know.
I don't think we paid for the have someone basically write out the podcast yet.
We don't have
transcription. There it is, transcription. Yeah, not yet.
Wonder what that costs. Probably more than I'm willing to spend.
Definitely more than I'm willing to spend.
Although, quite honestly, I would almost do it for like just certain episodes.
Yeah.
Like, I would just love to know what some transcriptionist did with, like, episode 3 with the Arnold Schwarzenegger, where the two of you are doing
inaudible noise. Inaudible. Unintelligible noise. Unintelligible noise.
Uncontrolled laughing. Laughing. Laughing, too.
Laughing, yeah.
Well, thank
idiots
you, John.
Being idiots.
Yes. Thank you, Justin.
That My
was,
pleasure.
That was good. That was good. I felt that. All right. Before we get to the reviews, God help us. Quick plug real quick for the for our YouTube channel. By the time you're hearing this, the review is already up on deepcavepodcast.com. But we'd like to thank the developers of Very Very Valet for giving the Retromantics their first video review opportunity.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So Lori and I playing. All right. Now, are you familiar with the game Overcooked?
Not even a little bit, but I did watch the trailer thing for Very, Very Valet.
Okay, yeah. Overcooked is essentially one of those time management games where you're running around cooking different dishes for.
Oh, like a Cooking Mama.
Kind of like Cooking Mama meets Diner
or
Dash.
Gardening Mama.
Diner Dash or something like that.
Okay.
Anyway,
I have watched my spouse play many, many of these on the Nintendo DS.
All right, so you take something like that, you add Muppets, and you put it in a parking lot.
I had a weird dream like that once.
You're basically a valet, and these cars pull up, and you have to park them, but then people start coming out of the restaurant, and you got to hurry up and get the cars. And it sounds a lot simpler than it is because it's all about managing your time. And let's just say you can have a lot of fun putting these cars anywhere but the parking lot. So I recommend it. We'll have the full 30 minutes of gameplay up on our YouTube channel. By the time you hear this, you can click on the YouTube button at the top of deepcavepodcast.com. It'll take you right to our channel. We'll have the review up as well. Big thank you to the developers, Very, Very Valet, for providing the game. Super fun. It's available on Switch. I'm pretty sure PC as well. And it's well worth your time. All right. That being said, the rest of the reviews we'll come back to. But first, guys.
Yeah.
It's June.
It is.
And yes. You know what that means.
No, I don't.
Yeah, that. It's E3 time.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that time of year where every gamer gets super excited and starts having visions of Dreamcast 2s and Sugar Plums dancing in their heads. And, of course, we watch these press conferences and we get all excited about things that we either won't get to play this year or won't get to buy ever or just might disappoint us. Hi, Cyberpunk. And I figured this year, like we have in years past, we could do a little bit of a roundtable. Our E3 wish lists for 2021. Suck it, IGN. We got it up first.
their list will probably go up one day before this one does.
So, Justin, you play games probably the least of us. Now, you did list an extensive amount of games just now.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you have any...
A lot of them I'm really well adept at.
I figured. Do you have anything on your E3 wish list? Anything you want to see one of the big developers announce? Sony, Nintendo, Microsoft, whatever.
Bishop 2.
Pawn 3.
Honestly, what I would like to see is Nintendo push out Nintendo and Super Nintendo games to the Switch store, not just their Switch Online account.
Mm.
Because I don't want to have to log in and play it exclusively via streaming.
Well, you're not streaming them.
Well, but you know what I mean. It's like I would rather buy a digital copy of it for the Switch.
Right. I get it.
Because
that makes sense.
There's some games I would like my son to play, but it's like I don't want to have to log in and connect to the server and all this
right.
other crap. I don't have the best internet in the world.
That's fair.
So it's like I would really wish Nintendo would just put all their games in a to-pay-for status where you can just buy it, download it, and it's yours as long as you have the Switch.
Yeah, that makes sense. Although, with Nintendo, they kind of need some reason for you to pay for Switch Online. And since Splatoon 3 ain't due out until 2022 at the earliest, yeah, that's probably going to be it.
Oh, well, counts me out.
No, I get it. No, it's a good one. It's a good one. I would...
No, I meant for Switch Online. It counts me
right,
out.
Right, right. No, I get it. I get it. But it's a good wish. It's a good wish. If they were to put out a Switch cart with... Right now, they've got more than 100 games on the Nintendo and Super Nintendo Switch Online things. If they mm-hmm. were to just put out a cart with those, because you know they'd all fit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's an easy $30 right there.
Hell, charge me the full 60.
Yeah, yeah. There'd be some weeping and gnashing of teeth from some people who would end up buying it anyway.
Hmm.
Hey, everybody complaining about the Zelda amiibo. That's my one. Chad, what about you?
So, I did something I didn't expect to do recently, which was I boxed up my Xbox. It had been so long since I'd even turned it on.
Yeah.
That I didn't have room on the shelf, and there was a problem with some heat. And so I said, well, I can just put this away.
Good night, sweet prince.
And so... I didn't take it back to factory or anything. It's still got all my login stuff and so forth. But I would like an excuse to get it back out again. And probably best case for that would be talking about Starfield. But
yes.
I'm guessing that that's going to be for... That's not going to be for the Xbox I've got. What? By the time it comes out, it'll probably be... The Series X.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I know that Microsoft said that at least for the first year after the Xbox Series launched that everything would be for both. But mm-hmm. Starfield's looking more and more like it's going to be delayed. It does look like it's going to be a Microsoft exclusive because, hey, they own Bethesda. They can do that.
Yep.
But, no, yeah, I forgot about Starfield. I was super excited about that one.
So, there's that. I mean, I don't expect that PlayStation's going to be there. I mean, Sony's been ditching it lately anyway.
Yeah, they don't need
to
go.
They have kind of their thing later or at the same time, but anyway. but I would expect that we might see Sony Santa Monica show up with some God of War stuff, even though that's been delayed as well. But I expect we'll see a little bit of gameplay this time around, not just the thunder and lightning.
What I'd like to see from Sony would be Uncharted 5. Like,
you think?
Yeah, like a full-on Uncharted 5. Because I know they're working on a last... This is so stupid. They're working on a remake of the first Last of Us. Which, but...
Seems unnecessary.
It is unnecessary. But... You know, and they said, oh, the Uncharted 4 is the last Nathan Drake story. Fine. Good. Great. He's got a daughter.
To heck with that. You can give me more Nadine and Chloe.
Yeah, they were good.
That was a better Uncharted than Uncharted 3 and 4.
Mm. It was certainly tighter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As were the jeans.
I did like Lost Legacy a lot. I'd also liked... Go ahead.
I was going to say Lost Legacy was also a lot... Not just tighter gameplay, but it had more fun characters. By the time we got into Uncharted 4, there was so much homework to do in terms of Drake and Elena's relationship.
Mm.
That's like we had a new place to jump in on.
That's fair. I totally dug Drake and Elena. And Elena is probably one of my favorite characters of the past couple generations. So
I'm not putting down their relationship.
Yeah.
I'm saying that you could not jump into the series with Uncharted 4.
No, you're right.
It would make no sense as to what any kind of stakes are.
You're right.
You could probably skip the first one, but you couldn't jump straight to 4.
Yeah.
I would also like to see Psychonauts 2. There's been some talk about that, and then Beyond Good and Evil has been teased for like 20 years.
Beyond Good and Evil, oh my gosh, it's starting... I'm going to get crucified for this.
It's become the Duke Nukem Forever.
Thank you for saying it so I didn't have to.
Well, and it's true, though.
Yeah.
It's been in this development heck for so long that the idea that it would, one, ever stand up to expectations, or two, even be good.
Yeah.
With the number of hands that it's been through, it's unrealistic. I don't think we'll see it, but I would expect that Nintendo, when they do their direct right around then, are going to tease us some kind of Switch Pro.
If I had a dollar for every time I heard someone mention that a Switch Pro was coming.
Well, I don't think that it is. I think that they're going to tease something like it.
Right.
And what it's going to be is like it'll be new controller colors.
Or
they'll have one that's just got, you know, just a slightly bigger screen.
Mm.
It's or a
atomic purple Switch.
Yeah. You know, just something random. Because, like, didn't the GameCube come with, like, a dozen different colors?
It did. So did the 64. So
I mean,
yeah.
I'm expecting that's going to be the thing. It'd be like, and, you know, now these will have the new Switch that you'll be able to, and you'll be like, oh, hell, customized to go with the decor of your room, you know.
For every professional gamer... The new Nintendo Switch lap cooling system. And it's just this fan that you strap to the Switch. I would like to see them do something about Metroid's anniversary. It's both Metroid's and Zelda's anniversary this year. And all we've gotten from Zelda so far is, oh, yeah, we're redoing Skyward Sword. That was the one everybody hated, right? So.
Well, one of them.
Yeah. I didn't hate it. I hated parts of it. So we'll see how it goes.
I hated Four Swords.
I did not like Four Swords at all.
I also didn't like Spirit Tracks. My spouse played it, though.
I didn't like any of the weird ones. Like Four Swords, Spirit Tracks, you know, the...
See, all of them are weird ones.
Well, I mean, like...
Some of them are just the wrong gameplay,
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, oh, it's a multiplayer Zelda. That sounds great. It's not. It's a Zelda that you control with a stylus. Well, that sounds terrible. It is. That kind of thing.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
Ugh. There's joysticks on the controller. Use them!
Yeah. God's sake. I guess, that's pretty
grumble,
much...
Grumble, grumble, grumble.
Any other wishes for E3 other than I wish that they would invite us to host it?
I honestly, I would just be happy attending.
Yeah.
I don't need to host nothing.
Hi, I'm Justin. I have no idea what's going on. Welcome to E3.
You know, that would actually be pretty perfect. Like, if we could only send one of us to E3, it really should be Justin.
Yeah. Get the everyman response.
Be like, I have no idea what anyone is saying, and there's a guy that I'm pretty sure is Adam Savage, but I'm afraid to go ask. because he's dressed like a really big thing that someone tells me is a boss from Demon Souls.
Sony announces like a revamp of the PS5, and like Justin somehow gets the exclusive, and it's like, all right, how many flops does this have?
Well, we haven't released any games yet, so none.
Oh, that's not true. I've got one coming up.
Last bit is I would like there to be some kind of announcement from Sony in some way, and I know it's not E3 official, but they'll do something around then about availability of the PlayStation 5 and what they're going to do to address it.
Yeah.
E3 is the time to do it.
Yeah.
When it's got the biggest audience, and they'd be able to pretty easily be able to say, yep, at this time we're going to have a thing online. We're going to talk about the PS5 and when you can get one, how you can get one, and what we're doing. Because, I mean, there's even been talks about like changing the structure inside the thing to use less silicone.
Yeah, due to the chip shortages and stuff. And I've heard a lot of people say one big thing would be to just make them available in stores.
Yeah.
So the scalpers can't just, you know, bot them up. It. Yeah.
But so my big things, I would like to see Starfield get some love. Maybe even Elder Scrolls 6. See a little bit whispered about that.
That's possible. I'd like more Halo, more Fable news.
Fable, I think that's kind of a big one that people are wanting. I would like to see some God of War, if not gameplay, then story trailer. I'd like to know what that's about, because the previous game ended so well.
Yeah.
That's like, Kratos isn't getting rid of his anger, but he's figuring out where to put it. But yeah, that I otherwise have very few expectations, just because it's been so weird the last couple years.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're leaning into.
Okay. Well, speaking of weird, let's talk about Returnal.
Returnal?
Returnal. It's one of our...
Is that the one where you have to keep dying and coming back?
Yeah. It's one of our reviews for this month. Returnal is a PS5 exclusive. And let me just describe it like this. Take the crushing difficulty of Dark Souls.
Okay.
Add some of the elements of a shmup, a shoot 'em up, or a bullet hell game, if you will, where there's thousands of projectiles on screen.
Okay.
And give it a little bit more of a horror storyline mixed with Groundhog Day.
Okay.
Yeah.
With 100% less Bill Murray.
100% less Bill Murray. You play Celine, who looks a little bit like Tilda Swinton, and you crash land on this alien planet, and before long you find the body of yourself, and you slowly start to realize, oh shit, I'm in a time loop. Every time I die, I'm gonna wake back up at the crash site, and I'm gonna keep doing this forever unless I can figure out a way off this stupid rock. And
crap.
Yeah. Oh boy, the gameplay's difficult. It's one of those loops where it's just hard enough where you feel like you're making progress. You're like, yeah, I can do this. And then this big eldritch horror kind of thing shows up and sprays bullets at you, bullets, laser beams, plasma balls, whatever, and it completely fills the screen, and you're doing real good at dodging until you're not. And then you're dead, and you're back at the crash site, and you've lost all of the gear that you've picked up except for your little pistol. Now go do it again. And the thing about Returnal is, as frustrating as all that sounds, you kind of want to do it again. It's got this addictive gameplay loop. The graphics are on par. This is probably the first truly next-gen game that's been put out since both the Xbox Series whatever and the PS5 launched. And this is one of those games that will make you a believer in the way the controller is designed to have multiple vibration points, adaptive triggers that give you different levels of resistance depending on what kind of weapon you're using, that kind of thing. It really is kind of a catch-all. So Returnal is very, very good. If you liked easy games, do not buy it at all. Rent it from Gamefly and see if it's your cup of tea. That's where I got it, from Gamefly, one of the proud sponsors of Geek Cave Podcast. And yeah, I'm not keeping it. I'm going to return Returnal, but I did enjoy what I've played so far, and we'll have a video up on our YouTube channel and on our Twitch stream as well. Give it a watch. Make up your mind. It's a beautiful, dark, creepy as fuck game. Stupid astronaut. That's all I'm going to say. Checked it out. Rent it.
I have a quick question that you didn't address, but okay. I think would be important for this.
Yes.
When you die, how quickly do you wake back up in your ship?
Within a couple seconds.
Okay, so it's fast.
It's fast. It utilizes the PS5 solid state drive, and you get a cutscene you can skip, essentially. So it's just like boom, boom, you're back.
So early on in the PS4's life, when Bloodborne came out, and it's one of those games where it's expected you'll die many times, and it resets the whole world. But it was taking upwards to a minute and a half to load.
Yeah.
It's like it makes it a punishment, not just a reality of the game.
Oh, that reminds me. It's also a roguelike. So every time you die, the entire world that you've explored no longer exists. It's a different world, a different layout, different map, everything.
That makes me less excited for it.
I would still say give it a rental.
Oh, I intend to when a PS5, shows up on my door. Under my TV with HDMI cables.
Yeah.
Hint, Darren.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're working on it.
Yeah.
It's just difficult.
It's a team effort.
I really like the idea of difficult but fair games.
Yeah, this feels difficult but fair.
And Bloodborne became one of my favorites, even though it eventually got to the point of difficult that my skills just couldn't match up. I really want to try Returnal. The idea of it is so cool.
Yeah. It's one of those things where I'm not a big Soulsborne kind of guy, but the concept was enough to hook me. And another fly in the ointment. The developers say they're working on a fix for it, but right now there's no way to save your progress during a run. You play until you either beat the game within about 3 hours, or you start over.
You do realize that there's probably a mid or post credits thing where you're like flying away and the ship blows up and you show right back up at the beginning, right?
Oh, I would be so mad.
The post credit scene is you're flying away and what you think is another planet cresting over the horizon, it's Bill Murray. And as you approach his face, he says, "Not today." And then
no one is going to believe you.
I would
yes!
pay.
And then you wake up.
I would pay for that. If that were DLC, I would pay for it. Even if I don't own the game, I'd buy it just for that. All right. I know we're running long. So real quick, Mass Effect Legendary Edition. I bought the game because I love Mass Effect. I love Commander Shepard. It came with a giant helmet that is life-sized and turns on both blue and red lights, depending on whether you want to be a good guy or a bad guy. Also had some art with it. The Legendary Edition is great. I love it. And it's my favorite game on the Citadel.
Still holds up, huh?
Oh, my gosh. It holds up. They upgraded the combat for the first game and made it good. And they added a couple of additional lines here and there. It's subtle, but I'm doing a playthrough as Fem Shep, and I've done playthroughs as her before, but I've actually encountered some dialogue I've never encountered before, and I've played these games a lot, so that's exciting for me. I thoroughly recommend it.
Is driving around on the planets on that first game still a pain in the neck?
Less so. They fixed...
Well, see, that's ruining it. It's got to be a pain in the neck.
Wait, let me finish. By default, the physics on the Mako are better, but you can revert it to the original physics if you wish.
That makes me so happy.
Yeah, Justin, Google, Mass Effect Mako. That vehicle, it's like it's dealing with 1/8 gravity, and it's just all over the place on every planet.
Noted.
It is like trying to drive a unicycle when you have one leg.
Yeah. It's great.
Okay.
And which leg you have changes every time you get on the unicycle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. It's just so hilarious. Commander Shepard is this full decorated, you know, badass of the space military and all that, you know, can do no wrong, can conquer any enemy, can't drive worth a shit.
I just assume it's a stick.
Commander Shepard drives the Mako about as well as he or she dances.
Which is to say, not two.
No. But yeah, Mass Effect Legendary Edition. If you love these games already, buy it. If you've never played these games before, buy it. This is definitely a Be Like Me. If you like anything space or sci-fi, or just humor, such as having your giant Krogan, which is kind of like the giant space toad, your giant Krogan squad mate complaining about your ongoing dialogue with someone when, quote, why don't you just eat him? Buy it.
Hmm.
All right. Cat!
It was created by a madman. Ignored and rejected. Every week it grows. We cannot kill it, for it does not live. Step fast and be wary, or you may fall victim to Darren's Pile of Shame.
Okay. As you know, this is, well, May was Metroid month. You know, Metroid, May. Yeah, you get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was going to do a different Metroid game every week on our Twitch channel. And then I started with Metroid Prime. Metroid Prime on the GameCube. It was also released in a trilogy on the Wii. You can't buy it. It is super expensive. And you can't buy it digitally because the Wii U eShop went down about 3 weeks before I started this venture. So go back and find the video on our YouTube channel, but I'll go ahead and give you the synopsis. I played 30 minutes of Metroid Prime, and then the disc stopped working.
Ooh.
Why is that? Well, it's been 10 years since a tornado destroyed my home, and Metroid Prime was one of the things that I lost on GameCube. So I bought a used copy, but never popped it in because I just didn't have time to play it. I finally popped that used copy in. Used copy worked for about 30 minutes. Do you know how hard it is to resurface a GameCube disc? They're really tiny.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So instead, I loaded up a Metroid game that I've always wanted to play but never got around to, Metroid Zero Mission on the Game Boy Advance. This is a remake of the original on the NES with some bonus content, such as good graphics, and you can actually control the goddamn character. And let me just say, oh my gosh, guys, Metroid Zero Mission is probably one of my new favorite games. It is a dream to control. The difficulty is just right. Samus Aran lands on this planet that has been overrun by space pirates and aliens and monsters and all that. She's a space bounty hunter. She's there to take out something called Mother Brain. It's a giant brain in a glass jar. Don't think too much about it. And you also have to contend at times with giant creatures called Metroids, which are like big space jellyfish that have big old teeth. They will latch onto you and suck you dry unless you freeze them and then shoot them with missiles. The gameplay is very, it sets the standard for what we now know as Metroidvanias. You explore an area, you find stuff you can't get to just yet, you unlock a weapon, you go back to those places where you couldn't reach and now you can, but that unlocks more stuff that you can't reach just yet. Lather, rinse, repeat. And, I really can't say anything other than that this is why the Metroid games are seen as the standard for the Metroidvania type games, such as Dead Cells, such as Shadow Knight, such as Shovel Knight, those kind of things. It all started with Metroid and Castlevania, and damn it, Metroid did it better. They did it better on the Super Nintendo, and now Metroid Zero Mission does it great on the Game Boy Advance. It was one of two fantastic games on the Game Boy Advance, the other being Metroid Fusion. Nice little plot twist. I'm not going to spoil anything, but Zero Mission doesn't end where Metroid 1 ends. There's actually more stuff. I was pleasantly surprised and slightly terrified when this happened. Yeah, overall, I mean, thumbs way up. If I had to give this a score out of, you know, out of 10, I'd probably give it a 9.8. It's really good. Definitely my favorite, one of my favorite 2D action games of all time now, and highly recommended. We've got multiple videos of it on Deep Cave Plays. We don't usually do more than one Deep Cave Plays per game, but it's just really good. So definitely check it out.
It's Darren's second favorite game on the Citadel.
Yeah, it really is. Chad, you've been watching some of these.
I have.
Yeah. What's your gut reaction been to these?
I don't want to play it, but I want to watch you play it more.
That's fair. That's fair. So, yeah. For Kent Harris, for Justin, for Chad, for myself, thanks a lot for listening to the gaming segment. Be sure to go back in time and listen to the comic segment, and then tomorrow come back for the movie segment. A big thank you to our sponsors once again, Shirtosaurus and Gamefly, and don't forget to check out our Extra Life 2021 fundraiser for Children's Marital Network Hospitals. Find the link and all the details at deepcavepodcast.com. Until then, hey, keep your controller warm, and remember, everyone's a geek for something.